I pressed that button, so we're good to go.
What's up? This is Movies On Up. Fuck.
Is it? Is it really Movies On Up?
Yeah.
What's up?
This is going to be the cold open.
Talking over my talk. What's up? This is Movies On Up. He charges $10. I'm changing the tagline now because it made me angry. It was going to be Deuce Bigelow, Male Gigolo, but no. What's up? This is Movies On Up, a movie that proves you're never too old to come of age. I am Dave, joined by Ryan and Mike. I don't have anything witty to
say. I'll be like the Rob Schneider to your Adam
Sandler. The Rob Schneider and David Spade to my Adam Sandler,
sure.
I guess. The tagline for this week is a movie that proves you're never too old to come of age. If you know what movie that's from, hit us up, moviesonup@gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup, or the Twitter, @moviesonup. If you are correct and we pick you, you will win the glorious Movies On Up prize package. This week, Pixels comes out. So we figured, hey, Adam Sandler.
Makes movies.
We haven't done an actor episode in a while, so we have our favorite Adam Sandler movies. I don't think I'm expressing the proper amount of excitement. I think Mike had the same experience. Usually I'll write down what comes off top of my head, and then I'll go through the IMDb page and see if I missed anything. When I was going through off top of my head, I thought, man, I don't know if I can come up with five. And then going through the page, it's like, I could do two top five lists. I really could.
Do like a top 10 if I needed to.
Yeah, he did have a run in the 90s where he was making good movies. And maybe that's why he's so sour now, because he's making the same kind of movies now. And I've grown up and I've changed my humor, I guess. And his just hasn't. But that's my thoughts on this list.
I'm glad that we only had to do a top five, because I have five and I like all five. But there's not many that I felt bad about leaving off the list. There may be one or two, but probably just one.
Well, let's go ahead and just kick it started. Ryan, why don't you just kick us off with your number five Adam Sandler movie?
My number five is from 1999, directed by Dennis Duggan. It is Big Daddy, starring Adam Sandler, which should probably become a little theme here. Joey Lauren Adams and the Sprouses, Cole and Dylan. As much as I do like this movie, I think it was kind of a harbinger of things that were to come for the Sandman. As you're soon going to find out with the rest of my list, I love me some potty humor. And I think that the earlier Sandler comedies are a great example of that. But I think that after the success of this movie, which made $160 million, and I believe is his most box office successful movie to date, I think it kind of got the wheels spinning in his head that I can make comedies, but maybe if I don't make dick and fart joke comedies, maybe if I make family comedies, that's really where all the money's at. And I think that's where we kind of saw a little bit of a shift from the Happy Madison Sandler to the Sandler that we got in the early 2000s, mid-2000s.
I'm going to jump in here because this was higher up my list, but I'll put it at my number five for flow purposes. I really love this movie. This is Adam Sandler playing a dude and not a character. And it worked. Happy Gilmore was just this caricature of a dude. Billy Madison, a caricature of a dude.
Billy Madison's just like an SNL character.
Yes. It seemed like after this, he only started making movies of essentially SNL characters with Lil Nicky, Waterboy, stuff like that. Mm. Everything had to be a character. This was just Adam Sandler as a dude still being able to do Adam Sandler stuff, but more refined. You talk about like grounded superhero movies like The Dark Knight, where they try to make a superhero movie in a real setting. That's what Big Daddy is. It's an Adam Sandler movie in a grounded setting. Like, it's not him doing drama, which will come up on my list. It's him still doing comedy, but grounded. And, you know, he still gets to do the Scuba Steve stuff. And it had a lot of heart. I really like this movie a lot. And it's not that I was 19 or I was 20 when this movie came out.
How many kids did you have at that point?
I had none at this time.
Holy shit, there was a day.
I was 10 years away from having kids. So it's not like it like hit that chord. I just thought it was really, really good. And it had a lot of heart, which you don't really accuse many Sandler movies of having heart. But this one did. And I really liked it.
Yeah, this is actually also my five.
Nice.
Just because it's kind of, I feel bad and good about this movie because I think it's the movie that made him start doing a lot of family stuff. Like, I think this is, you know, what really started the movies like Click and stuff like that. Does anybody really like that movie at all?
It's actually my number one.
Oh, no. Oh. Well, I wouldn't have felt bad anyway, but that movie's awful. But it had the right amount of humor. And it, like you said, Dave, it was an applied Adam Sandler movie, which there may now be too many of, but at the time, this was perfect.
My number four, since we're all in agreement on my number fives, let's see if we can keep that going, is from the sophomore days. It is 1996's Happy Gilmore, again directed by Dennis Duggan, with Julie Bowen and Chris McDonald. If not for Caddyshack, I actually think that this is the funniest golf movie ever made. I don't know how many funny golf movies there are.
Tin Cup.
There's a scene funny? In Space Jam where Michael Jordan's golfing.
All right, I feel like we're reaching now at this point, so I'm just going to go ahead and stick with my statement that Happy Gilmore is the second funniest golf movie ever. I think it's got some really great cameos in this. Bob Barker, obviously, and Jaws from the Bond movies shows up. Guns don't kill people, I kill people. I love his cameos, and I think Shooter McGavin is a really good heel character. Watching this movie makes me think a lot of, it's a very, very poor man's version of Kingpin. You have kind of a niche sport. You have a guy that really shouldn't be playing that sport. And as good as Shooter McGavin is, he can't really hold a candle to Big Earn McCracken. But I still kind of get similarities between the two. Obviously, Kingpin's a much, much, much better film. But I do like Happy Gilmore a lot. I think Julie Bowen was really good. That's kind of the first time I remember her showing up in a comedy and being really funny. And at this point, it was all sunshine and rainbows with me and Adam Sandler. Like, I was like, I'm going to love this man forever. You know, that ended, but it didn't end until far after Happy Gilmore.
That was what, 1996?
1996.
So I was 2 years old when that came out.
Fuck
so,
you.
My number four is actually, I now pronounce you Chuck and Larry just because, because
you were alive for it.
I was like able to watch a movie at that age when that came out. And I was in like, you know, the seventh, eighth grade years of my life where that kind of humor was kind of funny. And that movie was really good in like a dude way. Like, you know, I had me and my two best friends, we hung out all the time and we're like, you know, this movie's funny because we're just dudes. And that's why that's number four, actually.
My number four does not have Kevin James.
That weeds out a lot of Adam Sandler movies.
It's similar in tone. It is 2007's Rain Over Me. A very dude movie. Heavy drama.
Dude movie.
Written and directed by Mike Binder, who I've said before I think is one of the super underrated. Late 90s, early 2000s, he did a lot of really cool stuff. This was one of his bigger releases, and nobody seemed to care about it. Yeah, I have Don Cheadle and Adam Sandler. And you know what? Sandler, he can do drama when he wants to. And this movie was marketed way wrong because it was marketed as a story about a guy who lost his family in 9/11, and it felt like it was going to be 9/11 heavy. Yeah, he does lose his family in 9/11. It's mentioned. Like, his family's mentioned a lot. 9/11 mentioned, like, once. It's him not even trying to be funny. He really committed to this. Like in a couple other movies that will show up on my list, he's really, really good. And, I mean, you have Don Cheadle, who, Oscar nominee. Like, Don Cheadle is a really, really good actor. And you have him and Sandler going back and forth. And Cheadle had good material to work with. Sandler was more understated, and he pulled it off. And I really, really like this movie a lot. It's really good, but I feel like sometimes there's a movie where you feel like you're the only person in the world that's seen it, and that's how I feel about Rain Over Me, because I feel like nobody's really seen it. And maybe it is because I'm a sucker for Mike Binder. I liked his stuff in this time frame. I thought this one delivered. Really, it really did show that Adam Sandler can do more than make funny voices, and I really like Don Cheadle in it.
My number three comes from 1995. There's definitely a wheelhouse there for me where in my adolescence, as I'm a little bit older than Mike, I like dude movies. And I mean, more or less, dick and fart jokes is kind of what I think of. And 95 was absolutely a great year for like that kind of sophomore humor from guys that may have been on Saturday Night Live. I mean, Tommy Boy is still one of my all-time favorites. Couple that with 1995's Billy Madison. And in these movies, I was 11, and I basically quoted them for the next, I don't know, 20 years. That there, Veronica Vaughn, is still one piece of ace. Pete Sampras's wife, Bridget, super hot in that movie. I don't know if she ever did anything after that, but it didn't matter. Mike kind of mentioned before we started rolling, like there's Sandler movies that kind of run together, and I could absolutely see where this and Happy Gilmore could run together. They were one right after the other. The humor is the same, but for me, I remember so many just gags from this movie, and one of my favorites, it seems so out of place, but like the very end, when he reads his story at the end of their events to try and prove that he's not a complete dumbass, the way that gag is pulled off, it actually kind of seems self-aware. And at no point in the rest of the movie do you think that it gets how dumb it is until the end. And then it's like, oh, shit. All right, maybe they're in on the joke. But I love Farley, his bus-driving character in there. It's not necessarily one of Sandler's better roles, because I think most of the time in the movie, he's just making noises.
This is him being the guy from SNL starring in a movie.
Exactly. It's kind of midway on my list because, I mean, I think the guy's talented in doing that. I don't think I need 15 years of that. But, again, right place, right time. As an 11-year-old, that's hilarious. I can't get enough of it. I can still go back and watch Billy Madison. I don't love it as much as I did in 1995, but, you know, I've had my shampoo talk to my conditioner and try and figure out which is better.
My number three, I'm going to come really out of the woodwork here with a movie I was also very, very young, but a movie my mom watched almost religiously as I grew up, The Wedding Singer. Even at watching at such a young age was like, Drew Barrymore at her finest, and like, you know, Adam Sandler was great, and it like just all around I understood the message of the movie with a good amount of humor at that age, and it was a movie that my mom would watch, and I was like, all right, this movie's okay, where she'd watch movies, you know, that were pretty much awful most of the time, as most moms probably do.
She watched Click.
Well, she watched Overboard all the time, and nobody likes that movie except for my mom, I guarantee. But this is a movie that just hits the childhood part of me liking movies a lot, and this was really one of the first movies that, you know, I had to see multiple times, and it kind of taught me to appreciate, you know, seeing a movie multiple times, so.
This was much higher on my list. This was
too.
This was my number one.
But it was mine too, but I'm not moving it.
Okay. I'll put it to my number three. You know what? Screw it. I'll get back to it. It'll be my number one. We'll talk
Spoiler
number
alert.
One together. So my number three, because I don't even know where my list is anymore because I've already switched it up. My number three, it is a more recent Adam Sandler movie, and it was what I thought was a turning point. It is 2009's Funny People, written and directed by Judd Apatow. You mentioned self-aware, how Billy Madison had that
only
moment.
At the very end.
It seemed like it was self-aware. Adam Sandler's character in Funny People makes it seem like, oh, Adam Sandler is self-aware. He's basically playing Adam Sandler, this guy who starred in a bunch of stupid, stupid movies and is trying to move on. And I thought, oh, maybe Adam Sandler's going to do that. But then he followed it up with The Other Sister, or whatever it was called. Jack and Jill.
Jack
that's
and
what
Jill.
It was.
Which
the
was
other
terrible.
Sister.
Almost as bad as Click. Maybe
yep,
worse.
That was it. It was The Other Sister.
But Funny People, I really like. It does Apatow at the end where it goes on for about 20 minutes.
Half an hour too long.
Yeah, I really like Sandler in this. It is Rogan's movie, but Sandler comes in for what he's supposed to do. Bana, I think, steals the show. Eric Bana's phenomenal in it. But I really liked this Adam Sandler because he still got a chance to be funny, but way subdued. I mean, the character sums up perfectly. Like, he was almost... He was funny because he had to be, because that's all he knew. It's not my favorite Apatow movie, but it would make a top five Apatow movie list. But it's also my number three favorite Adam Sandler movie.
My number two, I'm going to guess, is probably on someone else's list, and it may be their number one, but tough shit, that's what you get for spoiling my number one. It is from 2002. It's Paul Thomas Anderson's Punch Drunk Love. We've talked a lot, even a little bit in this episode, about funny guys trying to do dramatic roles. And I don't know if we did a complete list on it, but I know we talked a lot about like Will Ferrell doing it and Jim Carrey doing it. And I've had movies from those guys on different lists, and it, maybe that's where I talked about it. And this is a very good example of Sandler doing that. I'm not quite sure what it is about this movie. I should love it. I like Paul Thomas Anderson. I mean, I like the story of the movie. Philip Seymour Hoffman's a great villain, if you want to call him that, in this movie. And I think Sandler's really good. He's understated. He's odd. And this Barry Egan character, like, kind of feels dangerous. And he's kind of supposed to feel that way. Like, he's just, you know, one weird nudge away from completely flying off the handle and killing everyone. Where I think maybe this movie falls a little bit short for me is the chemistry with him and Emily Watson. I mean, they're both very weird. And I get that that's kind of the dynamic of their relationship, but I didn't really feel that there was really anything between the two of them all that much. I felt a lot of it was just kind of Sandler just being a really good actor, which is a shame that we don't see more of that. I mean, we did see it a couple other times, but just not enough. I mean, I could deal with some more punch-drunk Sandler, some more Rain Sandler. Just we don't need to see the grown-ups Sandler again, or you know, whatever else,
let alone grown-ups too.
The click Sandler.
Yeah, I'm gonna jump in because Punch Drunk Love is also my number two. I love Paul Thomas Anderson, and it's a Paul Thomas Anderson movie before he became
I could just say it's a PTA movie.
And I mean, this is coming off Magnolia and Heartache, and everything you said is right. Like, Sandler's really, really good. It's almost a quirky romantic comedy without the romantic comedy in it, if that makes sense. Like, it's not,
the quirk is there.
The quirk is there. The dynamic of a romantic comedy is there, but the lightheartedness of a romantic comedy is not there. The chemistry is a little off. You don't really buy it. It feels very Portman and Christensen to where
wait a minute. No, nothing feels like that. Not repeated kicks to the balls.
It just feels off, but the supporting cast is, I mean, it's a PTA movie. Like, the acting is going to be top notch, and everybody from top to bottom kind of nails it in this movie. Yeah, the plot's silly. The plot's weird. It's out there. It's, if you want to call it a plot, like, it just kind of happens. I like this Sandler a lot, and that's why, you know, three of my five are his more dramatic, dramatic roles. And you mentioned Carrie and Will Ferrell. My favorite Carrie movie is Truman Show.
Oh, Truman Show. There's Carrie's got a lot.
Yeah.
One always is going to be kind of linked for me with Eternal Sunshine.
Eternal Sunshine,
And I hate doing that because they're very different movies, but every time I watch Punch Drunk Love, I just want to tell it, like, why can't you be more like that other movie?
Yeah, they're very different movies, but they're very same.
Similar.
In the same way, but in Will Ferrell, I like the author movie, Stranger Than Fiction.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Punch Drunk Love's my number two. I jumped ahead of you just to.
Mike, what's your number two? As he keeps jumping in front of me, he keeps also naming my same movie, which is Punch Drunk Love at my number two.
I just assumed it was your number one, so I wanted to
No, it is not, because, and the chemistry is actually what kind of keeps this movie at number two for me. If there was somebody in the Emily Watson role that he kind of clicked with,
no pun intended, sure,
a little bit better, you know, I really think
like
this.
Kate Beckinsale.
Anyone else. And my number one movie is why Punch Drunk Love is my number two in 50 First Dates. Because I thought the chemistry in that movie was what puts that way beyond, with the perfect amount of like humor and seriousness all at once. With Drew Barrymore is great and phenomenal in that. And, you know, how hard is it to play like a girl that has amnesia? So like, that's pretty tough. Adam Sandler plays a understanding boyfriend very well, I guess. He builds, you know, houses out of waffles and syrup every morning, you know, with her at a restaurant. And it's the perfect combination of, I think, the Punch Drunk Love serious Adam Sandler and kind of still, you know, the Happy Gilmore Billy Madison Adam Sandler at the same time.
I think pretty much everything you said about that movie is why I'm not going to speak for Dave, because he can speak for his own damn. He's a grown-ass man. But it's probably why we like The Wedding Singer a lot, because you're absolutely right with the chemistry with him and Barrymore. And, I mean, they've made several movies together. Most of them are good, Blended notwithstanding. But
awful.
Yeah. Obviously, they work together really, really well. And that's kind of when I was thinking of Punch Drunk Love. I mean, it's a much different movie with Drew Barrymore in it. But seeing her and him on screen together, they're very good. So it's not a surprise that they've worked together so many times. And I do think that, at least for me, The Wedding Singer is kind of the perfect balance of Sandler. It's not too much of, you know, the funny, silly Sandler. It's not too much of the dramatic Sandler. It's kind of showing, like, his entire arsenal. If I had to, not that I would ever have to do this, but if I had to put one Adam Sandler movie in a time capsule so that, you know, when the aliens do take over, or when the Red Chinese take over and they want to know, like, who Adam Sandler is, I'll just be like, here you go. Here's The Wedding Singer. He's charming in it. He's funny. He does a little bit of the serious acting when he has to. It is a romantic comedy. I don't feel like it's a romantic comedy, quirky romantic comedy that's missing the rom-com part. I think The Wedding Singer is just really, really good. And that's why it's my number one.
And that's why Big Daddy was my number two and this was my number one, because everything I said about Big Daddy, I could pretty much say for Wedding Singer, where it's a grounded movie, but it gives him a little bit more freedom than Big Daddy did, because it is set in the 80s, so you do get to dress wacky. He does get to sing on stage because it's part of his character. But outside of that, like, you strip it down, it's a really good romantic dramedy, because, I mean, you feel the chemistry there. It's just a well-done movie. Pretty much everything you said, plus everything I said about Big Daddy.
Plus everything Mike said about 50 First Dates.
Yeah.
But with a different movie.
It's kind of the perfect Adam Sandler movie. As much as I love Rain Over Me or Punch Drunk Love, that's not what he's going to be remembered as. He did transition. Like, Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore, he was that guy that does funny voices. He slowly transitioned into this, was still doing a character, but then everything after that was, you know, Little Nicky, Waterboy, Jack and Jill, That's My Boy, like stuff like that, where you just play a dude. You don't have to be a character in everything. This, he played a dude and a character, and it was that perfect blend.
And it made sense, because when he was the character, he was working. He was on.
Exactly. You know,
so reason to be a character.
It made sense. So that's why it's my number one. I assume you didn't have any also-rans.
Airheads?
I had Airheads as one of mine. Yeah.
I mean, I like that movie. That one kind of would have almost made the list.
I had Airheads. Bulletproof, I actually think, is really funny, him and Damon Wayans. But I like Damon Wayans as a movie star. I like Mo Money. I like Last Boy Scout. I like Damon Wayans on the big screen. And I thought him and Adam Sandler had a good chemistry. Mixed Nuts. It's a Steve Martin movie, but Adam Sandler shows up in a bit part. He's really, really good. And the one that was really hard to leave off the list.
Shakes a Clown?
No. No, that and I wanted to put Dirty Work so much because I love Dirty Work, but he shows up for like 10 seconds as Satan. The Longest Yard remake.
Yeah.
Yo, I'm glad somebody mentioned that, because I was about to get to it.
But the thing is I think The Longest Yard is really, really funny. And I think it's kind of a landmark Adam Sandler movie, because he's not the one that's really, really funny in it. He kind of sets back and surrounds himself, where I'm going to be the straight guy, and Chris Rock, especially Terry Crews, Tracy Morgan. He lets all these other people do Adam Sandler stuff. Like, Cheeseburger Eddie is one of my favorite characters ever. Tracy Morgan is hilarious. Chris Rock, I like the original Longest Yard. So seeing Burt Reynolds there was cool. I mean, I don't buy Adam Sandler as a big-time NFL quarterback, but I also didn't buy Burt Reynolds as a big-time NFL quarterback.
Burt Reynolds went to Florida State.
I know. I bought Damon Wayans as a big-time pro quarterback and Last Boy Scout. Best arm in the National Football League. I really like The Longest Yard. It was hard to leave off because it's damn entertaining. Like I said, I like it as a him movie because he does just kind of set back and let everything happen around him.
And once he figured out that could be successful, he did it with Grown Ups, and that's why we got Grown Ups 1 and 2, and there's probably even a Grown Ups 3 on the way. If you like Grown Ups, if we missed your favorite Adam Sandler
movie. Or Click, if you like Click.
If
you like Spanglish. All
right, here's the thing.
Kids.
I was going to throw in Spanglish as an also, but I guess I won't now.
Yeah, you've kind of taken the temperature of the room, and that would have not gone over very well.
All right.
But if you like Spanglish, or more...
If you liked watching them jerk off in Men, Women, and Children.
Or that.
or that. If you like any of those things, especially Mike would love to hear about it. moviesonup@gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup, or @moviesonup on the Twitter. We have one more episode for you for this month, and it is a long month because it's the way the weeks work and the days and the suns.
Next week should be Star Wars.
Next week is Star Wars. Next week is episode 4, A New Hope. We have got through the prequels, so if you've been avoiding us once a month because you hate the Star Wars prequels.
I hear the Star Wars episodes have sound effects. That's what I've been told.
They do. They do. I had to do something to reward people for trying to sit through our Attack of the Clones episode because that movie sucks, and it's hard to do a good podcast off a movie that sucks.
I don't plug myself every episode, but I'm going to do it because I haven't in a couple weeks. DavePacella.com. I blog occasionally. Find me at Twitter, @DavePacella. Also, check out podcest.com, podcest.com. That'll have this show, my other shows, Eric and Dave Talking with Eric and Dave, and Mike and Dave Have Daddy Issues. Also a couple other shows that I help put together. So that's podcest.com. You can find all those. And DaveBacella.com.
Mike, anything you want to talk about? Do you have a Twitter?
I have a Twitter. It's @YaManMike, YaManNMike. Because that's my name.
Keep listening to Mike and I's news episodes that have probably been up for a couple of weeks now.
By this point, sure.
Yeah, they should have been. We should be one or two deep.
Yeah, I've listened to them. They're phenomenal.
Whether they're weekly
news.
Or bi-weekly, who knows?
And I love that your guys are doing trailers again, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
And the box office
trailers,
segments.
Box office yes. news.
Yeah.
I'm stoked.
Everything.
So
I love those episodes, and I love that you're doing them.
I hope you've been listening to them because we've been having a blast making them. But we will be back next week without Mike, but with A New Hope. Until then,
keep it up.